Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'll be with you for about 55 minutes. This show today is a show for help, a show for courage, and a show that will demonstrate where you can go to get the help should you need it. We are going to talk about addiction. I have three of the best people I can think of doing addiction because they've all lived it and they've survived it. I'm going to start. Chivalry isn't dead. It's just old, fat, and bald. Me. So starting with Kate, please introduce yourself.
Good morning. My name is Kate Frizzell. I am a person in long-term recovery. I am the clinical director of the Alternative Living Center, which has some structured housing in both Pittsfield and North Adams in a full clinical day treatment program where anybody in the community ages 18 and up can come and if they're struggling with substance use or addiction in any way, get some help and get all kinds of help. More to be revealed throughout this hour, I'm sure.
I'll tell you, this is the third time or fourth time these people have been on. It's inspirational. It's sad, but it's real. And we're here to make real, let people make their decision to make real life challenges. They've done it and they've been successful. Dr. Rob.
Yes, sir.
So please tell.
I'm Rob Kirkman. I've been clean for 35 years, a drug and alcohol counselor for 33. And since becoming a drug and alcohol counselor, I got more and more interested in the brain, became a brain coach, and since then also an anger management specialist, because that was a big part of my own recovery. Managing my own anger. Once I got clean, I discovered I was an angry person. And also more recently got certified as a neuropsych counselor. So this is a great topic. Thank you so much for, I hope it's of help to others who are struggling over the holidays and whatnot. Yeah.
And under full disclosure, this is Mark McNeese is my second cousin. His dad and I grew up. We were born almost like twins. And we grew up together until he went to St. Joe and I went to PHS. But Mark has had his own travel, his own journey. And he's in recovery and he's a wealth of knowledge. He's spoken at Ohio State University. I can't be more proud of him than I am. All of these folks, because now they give back. So, Mark, give us a little bit of your history.
Oh, thank you. I'm Mark McNeese. I'm a person in long-term recovery. I'm a brain injury specialist at Alternative Living Centers, where we screen for brain injury all our clients that come in. I'm also a brain injury survivor, multiple traumatic brain injuries. And what we do, we screen the population that comes in for brain injury. It's often missed, especially in high-risk populations. Our numbers to date are we've screened about 257. And of those 257, exactly 248 of those 257 have come out with extensive potential brain injury histories. So we have a piece to our program that is also neurologically informed care, which we do a psychoeducational piece on brain health, neuroplasticity, sleep hygiene, all those things that deal with brain. Just part of the team, and we offer as much as we can in different modalities of treatment, and it's a huge opportunity with the brain injury piece they've added.
And being an old cop, this time of the year was always busy. And I'm going to say the two things that I remember that were now being a little smarter than I was then. Brain injury never crossed my mind, but now listening to this program, that's what they were fighting. And alcoholism, for a variety of reasons, seems to go up at this time of the year. maybe they know more than I do, but I know call wise, if you take out the police log, more and more calls are alcohol related at this time of the year. And it's whether people are partying, but some people are addicted. And that's what, this is the time to quit. This is why I'm doing this show now, this time of the year, not to be Debbie Downer, to be a reaching out to all of people who want to get straight. At least give it a try. What do you have to lose? So I'll start. Who would like to start? And I'll defer to you. Let me start with Kate. Kate, tell us about, and first of all, your location, because I never know what side of the street you're on. That's why I never stop. But Mark won't tell me.
So our clinical offices in Pittsfield are at 207 First Street. The clinical offices in North Adams are at 218 Ashland Street. Depending on what campus we're on, and it doesn't really matter. It's a very general explanation of everything. Our clinical services do take place in the residential area as well. It's just a spacing issue. But what we do is offer, full screening and assessments for anyone struggling with substance use, and offer individualized treatment for anyone that is, for anyone that's willing to do the work. It all starts with an individual and the desire for help and the willingness of, what they're ready to do. And we will 100% match your energy and meet you where we're at. We have any number of services that we can work into individual treatment plans. Mark and, Rob already touched on what is more newly added and becoming like paramount to a lot of people's right. treatment, which is the brain injury screening and psychoeducation, and the kind of tips and strategies and treatment accommodations that go with that. But we offer a full clinical day treatment program. It's 3.5 hours of group therapy Monday through Friday. We have a staff right now, a clinical staff of 20 plus individuals, all licensed or on their way. To offer individual counseling services. We have trauma therapist and trauma informed clinicians on both campuses. All of our clinical staff works in both campuses, so no matter where you are geographically, you'll have access to the same care. And we run the gamut of everything. Our group sessions go anywhere from, 12-step familiarization to the brain injury psychoeducation to relapse prevention and smart recovery and refuge and Dharma. We try to integrate and incorporate as many pathways and as many aspects of the disease as we can so that anyone who comes in, something's going to resonate with them and people can kind of find their pathway of what's going to work for them to get some longevity and what they're trying to do. And most of us are just trying to stay alive and live a simple life.
Yeah.
And I love, Kate, you're open, all of your openness. It is a disease. And I get really, I get angry at people who are judgmental for everything, oh, look at him. He's fat.
You could have just come in and grabbed it. Sorry.
That's all right.
We found his phone we were looking for.
That's important. What you said, Kate and Mark and Rob, what is the term you use now? Long-term recovery. What does that mean? Who wants to take that? Rob, you've been the longest. you win.
So far, anyway. That's only because I'm the oldest.
Well, I didn't want to say that. I was trying to be nice.
To be honest, what it means for me is every day I have to be mindful. And it's so easy to be unconscious about recovery. And really, I'm trying to live a different life than I've lived in the past every day and identify with that life in recovery. And what that means in all aspects, continuing to work in this field because it's not just a job, it helps me be mindful of my own recovery.
Wow.
I'm an anger management specialist because it reminds me daily of being mindful about my own emotional stability. And so, and it means being surrounded by family who understand that about my life.
Yeah.
And friends, coworkers. And in these days, it's particularly important. Well, it's always important, but to really be giving back and remembering what a struggle it is for people trying to live a completely different life with a new identity in the face of when the world around us is calling us back to living the gay old life during the holidays and special occasions. Yeah. And so one thing that's been helpful to me, especially in the earlier days, was being a recovery partner for folks who had events coming up or family functions and would feel otherwise very lonely in the face of trying to stay clean and sober during those events. And they would invite me as a friend.
Oh, cool.
And I'd offer to just be with them, to be a presence there during those occasions. And that was in the earlier days in Vermont, in my own recovery. So that, but giving back is huge, to be mindful of our own new identity. Although it's been all these years, it's still, I'm living, I say if almost every day, I'm reminded, thank God I'm not like that anymore. Yeah. I have a new identity in recovery. So that's about as simple as I can put it.
Well, but you made, the both of you made such, and now I'm going to go to Mark. It, John Kennedy used made a statement, we're going to put a man on the moon by the end of this decade, not because it's easy, but because it's hard. Well, addiction, breaking addiction, but you got to take the first step. For all anybody out there watching this, look at the people here to help you. And there's others. There's, I mean, during my time in the service, I saw a lot of guys for a lot of reasons. Believe me, a lot of 19, 20, 22-year-old drunks. And that, but they don't, they didn't know, they didn't have the help. They had AA. But they, oh, I don't need that. Oh, okay. Now my my cousin Mark would Mark has he God has taken him on a tough path, but I think the reason God did that is so he could be on the path he's on now, helping other people. So Mark, tell us about
Thanks. And you know, what I know now is my path is not that unique. I mean, the guys and the people I see on a daily basis live much more difficult paths than I've had, to be completely honest. I mean, I was raised, no ACEs, no childhood experience. Like I, compared to some of the, so the understanding is, you know, is there, but you know, like you said, long-term recovery, it's, I was given the gift of desperation really. And that's what I understand in my story, and I see a lot too, is, you know, at one point in my life, I was a corrections officer, went through police academies and had a great family and, you know, everything hitting all aces from the outside, you know, people respected me and thought the world of me and all this different stuff. And to be perfectly honest, I was a disaster then, you know, my life spiraled out and then, you know, and then you have to go through, like Kate was saying, you were saying, it's that first step. Yeah. And oftentimes when your ego gets in the way and you think, yeah, I was, you know, this person's going to think this of me or that's going to, well, your life is on the line at that point. And the longer you delay it, and I delayed it forever, I relapsed forever. You know, there were underlying neurological issues that we addressed today too, but you know, I didn't know any of it. And the first step was really putting the ego down and getting the help. And you know, oftentimes you hear rock bottom, I hit rock bottom, dug through a bunch of times, just like a lot of other people and their stories. They dig through rock bottom as well. But eventually I got it. I got the right people to help. But, you know, what it took was me asking for help eventually. And at times not even asking, but being forced into help. So
Right.
it's looking back in retrospect and any way that gets you there. And you're blinded by the hijacking of the substances while you're in the midst of it. You know, you're not you. And really, over time, you know, it's like Kate said, it's when that individual is ready. And sometimes they come into the program, they're not ready, they got to go out and test and fail a little longer, and then they come back. But the help is there. And you know, we try to, once you've been through it and you're on the other side, it's actually a different life experience. I mean, I don't have the finances and things that I used to have, but you know, I wouldn't change the character benefits and who I am. And like
Yeah.
Rob was saying, it's mindfulness and awareness. And today I live a mindful life where, you know, back when people thought I was in a different, I was
Yeah.
kind of just floating across the world, not really knowing anything about myself. So there's a gift to this as well, certainly, once you get through it.
And I again, I reach out to people if you have questions, maybe we'll give phone numbers or stop by or whatever, because the three of them said it in their own way. You have to take the first step and ask for help. Realize you have the problem. And what I loved what Rob does. Rob, you've been sober for what, 35 years?
Yeah.
Yeah. But he makes it real. It can be done. These three people are living in recovery. Their term, not mine, long-term recovery. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, the beast always lives within. It's always there. You can slip. Believe me, I picked up two or three guys that one was straight for like 15 years and got in a situation like you just said at an event and said, "Oh, I can have one." But he was smart enough to call.
So, you know, thank you for this. You know, Mark mentioned something that's really important. Daily, I have to surrender my pride and my ego, to recovery. If I live a self-centered life or a day, I'm in trouble. It's a setup for me. And the other thing is, I worked 18 years in a detox, local detox, and I loved it when people who were what they call, forgive me, chronic relapsers would come in, because they kept coming in. And so many of them, I've been doing this a long time now, so many of them, after dozens and dozens of admissions, where others, even staff, might say, "Oh, him again," you know, and ascribe a lack of motivation to that person, rather than acknowledging the desperation that person has, especially around the holidays, like we're talking. And so I'm grateful to know those people. Those who've found it after many, many, many admissions, and those who are still trying to find it. And they're a gift to my recovery. And I mean that. That's that keeps me going, you know.
Your
So, yeah.
sincerity comes through the screen. It really does. Now, I here's a and you know, relapsing people, how many, like, if you don't mind, how many times did you guys go and not make it? You don't have to be specific, but Mark?
Oh, good
Little late
Lord.
for me.
I've been to, so because I say this all the time in places like that, I've been to 80 detoxes myself. I've been to five rehabs. I was Section 35 five times, eight psych admits. I had a suicide attempt. It was a long journey. I was a corrections officer. I ended up in the pod that I was a corrections officer of eventually with a DUI. So, I mean, it took a long time. And, you know, the neuro, and it's great what we would. The whole package of ALC is, you know, we talk about relapse, we talk about all those factors. Well, it's the trauma and it's the spiritual bankruptcy and it's all these things, but it's also this neurobiology component that is huge. And that's why you're in lifetime recovery. I mean, there's all the character components and life components, but the neurobiology is the science, but you are always in recovery. You can't reactivate those pathways because you've broken your autopilot. So,
Again, for the audience, for people out there who know somebody or are may have think they have or don't keep going forward. Take the first right you see, which is right after this program, and either call. We'll get you some numbers, and the Kate will give the address again. Because what they say, today's the first day of the rest of your life. In so many ways, I live that every day because I think of the colleagues I left and fellow veterans I left behind in Vietnam. I try to live for them. I try to live for them. And when you see what the, look at these three people. You're sitting there with a half a squash on, as they used to say. And look at them. They're bright, they're alert, they're here, and they're also sensitive to your need. We're not just talking alcohol here. We're talking and kids, please, if you think you are, get some help because there's so many poisons out there today. It could be your life, believe me. It breaks my heart. Going back to, before I forget, why don't we just one more? Do you mind giving your number out, Kate, or the address again?
Not at all, not at all. For our Pittsfield campus, for the Alternative Living Center, the clinical offices are located at 207 First Street in North Adams. It's 218 Ashland Street. The direct line for me to get you to any department or whatever service you are looking for is 413-626-2445. And the main line for the Alternative Living Center, which the computer operating system that some people hang up on because they are quite frustrating, which is why I always give out my direct line first, is 413-499-6300.
It's like I had to call Berkshire Medical Center the other day. They said if it's an emergency, pass 911. By the time I finished listening to all the prompts, it was an emergency. I had an anger management problem, Rob. I should have called you. But it'd be if people want to make, say they listen to this and they say, you know, I can't go through another Christmas or another New Year's or whatever, or I made it through Christmas. And I didn't get as drunk as or whatever as I. What's the first step? Who to make the call to you, Kate? To
I have a couple different answers for this. You know, I
please.
want to be really clear about the severity and the potential ramifications of that first step, depending on what people are using. Detox and withdrawal can be lethal. So, you know, if
Excellent.
you to walk into one of our offices or to call me is always an option. But if we are talking about, you know, medical fragility, if someone is
Oh,
using benzodiazepines or alcohol, detox will be fatal. Eventually it will be fatal. It can always be fatal, but it, you know, it can be. If someone is struggling with opiates, you know, they don't, we don't, and now really anything you're buying off the street, but we don't know what we're buying, and anything is going to have a potential overdose risk. So, you know, I always like to start with the hospital and the medically monitored and the medically engaged
excellent.
services because it's the safest way to go. So for the McGee Detox, which is the detox unit in Pittsfield in Berkshire Medical Center. The phone number for their intake line is 413-445-9395. And you can always just walk into the emergency room, go up and say, I need help, and this is what's going on. You know, there's not always a bed. That always can be frustrating, but if someone is medically fragile enough, the requirement is that they at least bring you to the medical floor, and you know, based on the history, they have to at least medically clear you and monitor you. So if someone is
Good.
at a potential risk of death, then they'll at least live until they can maybe make the next choice.
That's invaluable information. And thank you, Kate. Invaluable. If you're on more than any, the emergency room is always your can always be your first step. Now,
It can. I mean, and when people don't know what else to do and they're at that critical mass point, if that's the only thing you can remember to do is just to walk through the doors of the emergency room and throw yourself at their mercy, then at least you've done that. And it doesn't always lead to immediate treatment, but it will at least lead to medical care so we can keep, so you can keep yourself alive.
And again, thank you for that also. Please stop buying drugs on the street. Please, 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 please. It's an epidemic now, I think. In my opinion, I got to do this. In the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guest. They in no way, no way, represent the Pittsfield School Committee, School Department, Mayor Marchetti in the mayor's office, and Peter White in the city council, and or the man riding his bicycle on this frigid cold morning north in the southbound lane on North Street. He needs help. Mark, what made you make the change?
It was really just a spiral, life circumstances, and honestly, I went until I could physically, I couldn't do it anymore. And I tried multiple times over and over and over. Matter of fact, Rob was my counselor at McGee for a decade, really, and basically kept me alive there because he was one of the few individuals around that was talking about brain, and I knew my whole piece was really brain related. So quite honestly, that I went to detoxes earlier, quicker, faster, because I felt a connection there and it was safe for me. So but what ended up getting me sober eventually was persistence, and I it was something, but my life spiraled out, and that's I didn't do it on my own fruition or on my own at first. So, whatever way it comes. But, there was, I frustrated a lot of people. Being Section 35 means you have people that love you and care about you that are sending you away against your
Your
wishes.
will.
And right, that you could possibly be angry with them. They're taking those chances and still doing it, and I thank them now, of course. And that's part of the process. Addiction is not pretty at first, and it takes a lot of hard work, and it's going to tear you down, and you're going to build back up. So, it took a spiral.
We got about a minute, and I'll take it before break. But I let me make this plea to families and friends. If one of your family members or friend has gone down this path, and you're now angry at them, if they take, excuse me, if they take that turn, and they get in and they start getting clean, support them. Open up your heart again. I know it's not easy. I mean, I haven't been, I was addicted to cigarettes and I gave it up every Monday for 30 years. No, not that long. But I had a, my son was born and I haven't smoked in 49 years. So what's your incentive to give it up? That's you. Now, families, friends, forget the past. This person's trying. A hand out and a hand up. We're going to be right back. This is 89.7 PCTV, channel on channel 1301 Spectrum Cable, and 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are also broadcasting down into Southern Berkshire at 88.1 FM. So a lot more people are hearing this. We've expanded our reach now. So we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Pittsfield Community Television has relaunched our website at pittsfieldtv.org with a new design to make it easier to find our live streams with PCTV Select, where you can watch live sports, city meetings, and more. Now it's simple to find our past shows on demand and future TV schedules. You can also quickly find information on how to be a member, our upcoming training sessions, and how to donate to PCTV. Check it out at pittsfieldtv.org.
What is One Berkshire? We're the voice of the business community, promoting the region and supporting local business. How do we do it? Through marketing, networking, sponsorships, and advocacy. Whether it's promotion to travelers and second homeowners, or opportunities to network with your neighbors and raise your profile, we've got you covered. So join today. Visit oneberkshire.com. That's the number one, berkshire.com.
The preceding public service announcement courtesy of WTBR and Lee Bank.
Hey, this is Mike Pezzo. Remember those tunes your parents told you to turn down? Better yet, remember those tunes your grandparents told your parents to turn down? Well, on Mike's Amazing Music and Oldies show, you'll hear sometimes oldies, sometimes blues, sometimes local performers, and a lot of rock on Berkshire County's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio, Thursdays at noon. Tune in and be entertained and educated.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sundrini.com.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back, WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we are back. What a team I have for you today. This is an informational, educational, and real life show. During this time of the year, it's been my experience as an old police officer, operative word old, we get real busy with alcohol and drugs. And so I brought experts on, and I'm going to have them run through one more time because this is a new half hour. People are in and out. Kate, if you would be so kind as to introduce yourself.
My name is Kate Frizzell. I am the clinical director at the Alternative Living Center, Substance Use Abuse Treatment Services in Pittsfield and North Adams, also an individual in long-term recovery.
And a wonderful person. I added that. Don't tell anybody. Now, Dr. Robert.
Yes, sir. I'm Rob Kirkman, part of the clinical team working with Mark and Kate and others at ALC. I'm also been clean for 35 years myself. I'm an anger management specialist, had been an alcohol and drug counselor for 33 years, and a brain health coach. And recently, in the last 2 years, got certified as a neuropsych counselor. Work closely with Mark. We partner pretty closely at ALC in doing groups and assessments and whatnot together. Yeah.
It's an amazing organization. That's all I'm going to say. They've helped so many people. What I would say to people who know people, try to get them help. But whatever you do, don't be judgmental. This is a disease. Mark, if you'd be so kind.
Yeah, hi, I'm Mark McNeese. I'm a brain injury specialist at Alternative Living Centers. I'm a person in long-term recovery. I'm a brain injury survivor. I do brain injury screening for the entire population at Alternative Living Centers, and I'm part of work with Rob and the rest of the team on psychoeducation, and we run a brain injury support groups every week, weekly as well.
Mark, would you take us kind of what are some of the spark plugs for this time of the year for folks with addictions?
Probably better to speak to that would be Rob for me
I meant to
personally. I
say,
mean,
Rob, that I was looking
yeah.
at Mark. You know what you're dealing
Thanks.
with here.
I
You know.
appreciate that. Well, it's a very disorganizing time. It had been for me. I was stressed. When you're stressed, you're confused and you can't put your finger on things, but it ain't, you know you're at risk, right? And so being able to identify those things that or combination of things that stress you out during the holidays as you're, reaching to maintain your recovery is, first of all, you got to acknowledge that this is a time of year where there's constant exposure to alcohol and drugs. Parties, family dinners, work events, New Year's, not work events at ALC, but work events typically, and jobs I've had in the past, that was certainly true. Family stress and old dynamics within the family. We families tend to remember the person you always were and project that onto your present efforts, and without meaning to, sometimes sabotage your efforts to stay clean. Again, a lot of times well-meaning, but they don't nostalgia and happy memories of using. That's huge during this period of time. And for a lot of people, loneliness and isolation. Holidays are social occasions and traditions that involve drinking and using, but it can feel lonely in the midst of all that. And grief and loss. I know when I was working in a detox, so many people came in with having lost relationships or death, divorce, whatnot, in and around the holidays. So that compiles or what exacerbates the issues, the emotional issues. Disrupted routines and supports that, holidays disrupt a lot of the things, the routines and like, meetings and therapy appointments you get rescheduled or canceled, things that we depend upon. So we got to adjust and adapt, which isn't easy. There's financial and social pressure. You may not feel adequate to really give to others. Giving is a big part of holidays, and you might not be able to afford to. And that can, affect our self-esteem and just basically, I the shame around needing, knowing you need extra support, but not feeling comfortable during that period of time when, we can be embarrassed that, when everybody else is partying and celebrating and whatnot, you're lonely. You need extra support. All of those things, and being able to identify, yeah, that's what's happening with me. Maybe talking to someone who can help you walk through specifically what are you really struggling with, during these periods of time. I mean, underneath it all, we're all in recovery or trying to maintain recovery. We're just trying to live a new life, and it can be foreign territory when all the old ways of living and traditions and whatnot come crashing in, during the holidays. So that.
I thank you for, and I'm, I didn't mean to enter, I just want to say to folks that are listening, are you going through this? Do you have a an addiction problem, or do you think you do? The other thing I can say is, if you don't, get to your own doctor and sit down and what you're going through. I'm an old man now, Mark didn't notice. I had to tell him. But as you get older, and I think back on all the people that I saw struggling with various things, not enough money, not enough heat, whatever, addictions. My saintly Irish mother, God rest her soul, had a saying. Nobody goes through this world unscathed. So I don't know what your background, what caused it, whether I defer to whoever wants to answer. What's your belief on the genetic passing of alcoholism?
So I'm going to take a little bit of this one. And please. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, especially here, because in the general public, for lack of a better term, you know, there's still a debate and they're still never, listen, everyone's entitled to their own opinions, but, right. You know, substance use disorder is a disease. It's no longer up for discussion. It's no longer up for
Thanks
debate.
Be to God.
You know, and that's the end of it. There is, and it, we could potentially be in the, you know, the chicken or the egg situation until the end of time, but there is most definitely a genetic component to, you know, to the addiction gene, to the, whether it's the genetic component, because the gene has been identified. It yeah. has been, it's over. It exists. There's no debate. But there's also then the, you know, the environmental factors that can compound that. So no, you are more susceptible if you have addiction of any type that runs in your family. You absolutely are more susceptible. That does not mean that you are absolutely going to cross that line, that your brain Right. is absolutely going to. It means that it is there, it is likely prevalent, and we encourage everyone to be aware, you know, be aware of how your brain and your body and your behaviors react to substances of any type. But also being raised in an environment where things were either normalized or where, you know, when we talk about ACE scores, the, you know, those adverse childhood events where we're Right. witnessing the ramifications of addiction in within the home, you know, that ideally that's what draws us to, you know, try to behave differently. And for a lot of people, you know, they are successful in that. Right. They're aware of what the dangers are. They're aware of what they're more susceptible to. So they live a life that, you know, they don't want that to become them. And for some of us, you know, the actual opposite happens, where it was just something that was normalized, and it's a culture that we were yeah. raised in. And so it became normal and we just didn't think it was going to happen to us, or we just thought it was inevitable, you know? And then all of a sudden here we are. So, you know, as far as the genetic component goes, it absolutely is there. It also doesn't have to be a defining moment. It doesn't have to be a defining factor. It's not necessarily inevitable, you know, and we talk about relapse being a part of recovery, which can absolutely be true. And it's yeah. true for many people. And it's important to know that. It's also important to know that it doesn't have to be, you know. My dark period lasted for quite a few years. I've done this one time, and that's not because I'm better at it. It's not because I'm different. You know, it's because I just happened to fall into the right level of motivation and the right help and had the unwillingness to go back to the way it was before. And I've been able to fight that disease and manage my symptoms with the education that I've been given. It could still be me. It's only 9:51 in the morning. The day's just getting started. It could still yeah. be me. But it's not, nothing is ever inevitable with enough education and with enough information and with enough knowledge of what is there that can help you.
And personal desire to stay the course. You know, not put, what did the nuns used to say? Can never put yourself in the something of sin. Well, it's kind of the same thing, as I said prior to the show, the famous radio host Don Imus, is recovering, long-term recovery, wouldn't go to places where alcohol was served just to avoid that temptation. And so, but I want to get into the, excuse me, Mark, if you'd kind of address the brain injury.
Hey, I'll just give you a quick, what yeah, we do please. At ALC for the neurobiology or the brain injury pieces. We've recently spoke at a national convention, the National Administrator State Head Injury Association. We spoke at a Portland conference because we've done more screens in the substance use population than anyone in the country. What we do is we screen everyone who comes in with what's called the NASHA OBIS tool. It's an online brain injury screening support system that is validated and it's HIPAA protected. We screen everyone who comes into the population so we can get a history of brain injury through Ohio State's brain injury identification method. And then they get a symptoms questionnaire put out by Colorado, which identifies cognitive, behavioral, and emotional challenges that folks might be having from brain injury. We put that piece into a packet. Now we have knowledge, we can come up with accommodations, we can tailor treatments to different brain injuries, what they might be having issues with, challenges with. We have the psychoeducational 10 groups on brain health, all different neurobiology of addiction. I do brain injury support groups. Rob follows up with MoCA R bands. He can follow up with MoCA R bands, which are neuropsych evaluations, neurobehavioral follow-ups, all strengthened packets so that our clients can get referrals and further treatment when they leave our program. They get awareness recognition and they get one-on-one counseling and tailor-made kind of treatment to their brain injuries while they're at ALC. But, you know, we're limited in resources. So we do all we can. We are not doctors. We're not diagnosing. We're not anything like that. We are putting these packets together for our clients to bring to primary care physicians and getting further neurological appointments, more screening, more testing, so that we can start treating that because brain injury looks a lot like the symptoms of mental health disorders. The self-medication with drugs and alcohol, we're doing all the same things that our doctors are giving us for medications, but at a higher level of it's going to hit and pack those neurotransmitters heavier, faster. So the survival brains are used to self-medication, and we're just trying to give them knowledge of knowledge as to what's going on physiologically and then get them the support they need. And anger management and the brain injury or the anger management support groups, the brain injury support groups also focus in heavily on the brain injury piece. So that's what we're doing at ALC. I know some of the courts are looking to see what we do and people want to know what this neurologically informed care piece is that we're doing. So that's what we do at ALC as far as that programming is.
And you made an interesting statement in the first half of the people you ran the test through, and 47 of them were, or but you ran, I can't remember the numbers.
So we've done 257 screens at this point, and of those 257 screens, 249 have been positive histories. 249 out of 257. And it's not a couple they're extensive brain injury histories. So just identifying it and then giving the awareness is really can change a lot of things because you're talking about your neurobiology is bringing you back to addiction. If your survival brain is after what's trying to comfort it and fix it, and then you add in all the other pieces that we add in, the trauma, the ACEs, there's so many variables. So we're just trying to get back to one piece as well by adding in the neurological piece.
My work with violent youthful offenders, abuse was high rated, this was a few years back before. And now, I mean, I'm intervening with colleagues in the field. They never, and one of the things maybe we can collaborate on as a group, and I'll certainly try to help you. Every juvenile that's arrested for a serious crime should be, make it across the board, should be tested for brain injury.
There's something we've mentioned a number of times, ACEs, and I want to be clear for the listening audience. ACEs basically is a screening for what they call adverse childhood experiences.
Yep.
The earlier the damage, abuse, neglect, trauma of any kind, the earlier the abuse, the more it affects development, brain development. And that's an important piece. So we typically screen for that also.
The fact that these things that are trauma, a lot of us, for lack of a better term, don't give ourselves credit for going through trauma until we really start to learn about it. I mean, some of them are obvious. We talk about physical and sexual abuse and, you know, trauma, combat trauma or gun violence or things like that. But things that are traumatic that change and alter our neurochemistry, the layperson or someone who is not yet fully informed or becoming informed doesn't realize that, you know, emotional abuse or divorce, abandonment, you know, parental abandonment, things that are just kind of normalized because they happen so often are actually traumatic as well and can alter what's happening inside you.
Thank you, Kate, for bringing that out.
Yeah, it's safe to say, too, it's not just us. We have, by and large, a really trauma-informed team that recognizes this, and we talk about it as a group, and that's really important, I think.
Yeah.
That level of sensitivity is at ALC around these issues. So, yeah.
And again, Kate just, I think, brought out why I love doing this program is because of the people. Why I hate doing this program because of the topic. But these people, what Kate just brought out is real life. This young lady ran the gamut, ran the course, and now she's in long-term recovery, and all of them. I say that to just give people out there, you can do it once you make up your mind, and with help. Nobody's asking you to walk this road alone. There's help for you. Seek it out. Kate will give you her number again with the drop-in center. I mean, all I'm saying, I don't mean to preach, but I can't help it. I've just seen so many through my career, people ruin their careers, ruin their lives, and there's help. And that's why I do this show. And I do this show, and yes, it's the holidays. And why am I doing it? Because it is the holidays. And Robert just handled it very well. There's a lot going on that doesn't normally go on. I'm going to give you 60 seconds to do a recap on that, Bob.
Sure. It's a whole bunch of variables that get exacerbated by the holidays. I'll run through them really quickly.
I know you are.
A constant exposure to alcohol and drugs during all these events during the holidays. The family stress and the old dynamics and relationships within the family that basically, for lack of a better term, hold you in like bondage to that old identity. And we fall back into it so easily. It's stressful. Nostalgia and happy memories of those using days. I still have them from many years ago. And, you know, that's part of my memory about what holidays are about, you know. Loneliness and isolation for a lot of us. Boy, it feels lonely sometimes, and especially new in recovery. Not feeling a part of the celebrations that involve those things. So loneliness and isolation, grief and loss. A lot of people lose people over the holidays, and those memories, those dates just come slamming back somewhere around between Thanksgiving right through New Year's. The divorces, the losses, the deaths, all of that, and it can be huge. And disrupted routines and supports that you normally rely upon to get through. Counselors take vacations. I've seen some support groups offer more resources during the holidays and others reschedule meetings, which is probably the worst time to do it. And financial and social pressure, feeling that the holidays are a time of giving. And what if you're just, man, you're known recovery like I was at one point, and you want to give, and you're not, and that's embarrassing to not be able to really participate in the giving of the holidays. Maybe that's my personal issue from my own history way back, but I think it's true for others too. And basically the shame around asking for extra help during that time. You don't want to draw that kind of attention to yourself when you most need it, which is unfortunate, you know, and feeling embarrassed, admitting that holidays scare us sometimes. Yeah. And then, you know, under all that, it's just all that coming up against our real desire to live a totally new and different life. So anyway, that's the kinds of things. So being able to talk, separating that and identifying that, which I really needed to do. All I knew was I was really stressed and I just wanted to get through the holidays and survive it. Yeah. But I never really, it was years into my recovery before I really started to, with help, understand what it is, what it was that, and to some extent still is, the things that make holidays difficult for someone in recovery or attempting recovery. So
thank you, Rob. I would ask Kate one more time for the numbers and the addresses. If this program has inspired you to seek help, tell them if you go to Kate's place. If you're ill and Kate knows all the bad combinations, get yourself to the emergency, get yourself, wherever you're listening to this, to an emergency room and get help. You could die. You could die. Kate, please, the numbers again. She free? She gone. Oh, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Anybody know? Oh, there she's back. Kate, the numbers again, please.
Just in time. It just completely rebooted. Awesome.
Okay.
All right. So local detox within Berkshire Health Systems, the McGee Detox Unit, the intake line is 413-445-9395. And for the Alternative Living Center specifically, our main number that'll get you to the automated system for all departments is 413-499-6300. But in lieu of that, you can just call my direct line. It's 413-626-2445.
I can't thank you all enough for opening your own lives, your own struggles, your own battles to help others. And hopefully there's people out there who will take this advice, and one day you'll be helping others. I'm a big one for giving back. And I can't thank these folks for coming on and just being honest and helpful and being themselves. No textbooks, no fancy stuff. This was their lives. They've lived it. And they're living it every day still. But look at them. Then look at you. God bless. And as I say every day, today, lift somebody up. Stop putting people down. You'll feel better for it, and they definitely will feel better for it. We're all in this together. We all have problems. As my saintly Irish mother said, no one goes through this world unscathed. Do what you can, but you're number one. Take care of yourself. If you have any of these issues, get help. When we sign off, pick up the phone, call Kate, go to emergency room, but start today. Make 2026 your year of recovery. God bless you guys for all the work that you guys do. And don't take this as a threat. Kate, I might stop in one day just
anytime.
To say hi.
Well, anytime.
Mark keeps telling me you're down where the old Al's Variety was, and I know that's not true. Mark, thank you so much, and thank you for being so real and so forthcoming. God bless you guys, all of you. Take care, everybody. See you soon. And again, 2026, it's here.